here. We got the Video Film Podcast, and it's Jesse, and I'm joined by Adam today.
Hello.
How are you?
Okay.
We watched another two Star Wars movies. We got the Rogue One from, I'm going to say, 2016, and we got A New Hope from 1977. I knew that one right off the top of my head. When good movies job. Changed forever.
Yeah. Yeah. Good year.
A good year. A new landscape, a new standard in science fiction movies was set.
Did you watch the special edition or the theatrical release of 1977, episode 4?
I don't believe I have access to the theatrical release. So it was on Disney Plus. I have to assume it was the special edition. I mean, there was a Jabba, so I'm not assuming anything.
Yeah.
Jabba was there. Han. Now, we talked about that, I don't know, last week maybe, or the week before. So I was waiting for the tail stepping, and it's fucking clunky.
Yeah.
Like the way you explained it was like a technological marvel, and then, the way that I saw it this morning was basically like they cut him out and then they like stop motion animated his like a picture of him going over and like, wow.
Yeah.
It was like, holy shit, that's what we had back in, I don't know, 1998 or whatever. Yeah. 1996, whenever they put the special editions out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how I remember it. But I just remember that it was an easy thing to do because half of his body was behind the CGI slug. Mm-hmm. So all they did is they cut the top half of his body and moved it up a few frames. And then they just had the slug go, ah, and then they bring him down a few frames. So it was pretty easy to do in the computer. When they hadn't planned on it, right? It's not something that they did film it to do it that way. They just filmed it because at the time they thought Jabba was just going to be a big fat guy.
Yeah.
They didn't think he was going to be a big slug.
But it also seems like something you would make as kind of a joke. And then George Lucas was like, let's put that in theaters. And it's like, no, I just cut the top half of his body and moved it up a little bit. We didn't even, nothing changes. Like his arms and his head doesn't move. He's like, no, that's great. That's the best.
Do you think the special editions came to theaters?
I saw them in the theater. I saw this one in the theater, this special edition.
In 96 or whatever.
With my dad, 96, 97, whenever it was in the theater.
Okay. I remember that came out on VHS and I bought them. But I don't remember it being in theaters.
Maybe it was the original, but I don't think so. I think it was a special edition. Maybe it was the original.
Of what? Coming back to theaters? What?
Maybe it was before they released. I don't know. Whatever it was, I saw this in the theater and it had been like upgraded. So maybe it wasn't the special edition. I don't know.
I'm all confused with your...
I'm confused too. I know I saw it in the theater. I don't know if it had the Jabba special edition shit.
You know you saw A New Hope in the theater. That's what you're saying.
In the mid-90s.
Okay. So we don't know if the special editions actually came out in the theaters or not. It would make no sense to re-release the originals when you have the special editions coming out. And so the hype around it would be the special edition.
Probably
so I'm
true.
Guessing it was a special edition. Okay. Probably. This slowed me down.
You're tired after that. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I remember it looking amazing on the big screen. But I don't remember the specifics. That's all I can tell you, that I'm happy I got to see it on the big screen.
All right, we're still talking about this?
Yep.
Okay, let's keep talking about the same thing for the next hour.
Okay. You seem to want to talk about it. Now you don't want to talk about
it. It was just a question.
Okay. Let's go back to Rogue One. because these movies go right into each other. When would you say New Hope starts like minutes after?
It's supposed to, yeah, because she just her ship just gets away, and that's the ship that they pull into the tractor beam or whatever, or he boards, they board it or whatever.
They
So,
board
yeah.
it. Yeah.
And I actually got it confused because I thought that the scene with Darth Vader coming down the hall and killing all the people was the scene from the first one. I thought that's how he boarded their ship in the in episode four. And so I thought they actually overlapped that scene, but then kind of redid it with Darth Vader being awesome in Rogue One. But I was wrong. Those are two separate things. He boards the ship that's got the plans on it and kills all the guys, and then they just escape and give the plans to somebody else on a different ship, and I guess it's her ship. So then the next movie starts with them getting the ship, which is kind of funny if you do watch it in the order that we watched it in, where it's like they get on and they're like, "What are you talking about? I'm just a ship. I was just driving around out here in outer space." And he's like, "I know you're evil." It's like, no, they were just in. It's there's no doubt that it's they're rebels, right? Because they just saw them escape, I think. There's no way to interpret that any differently, right?
No, there it does get a little bit weird going from Rogue One to A New Hope. So I think they did have to kind of make some adjustments there that didn't fully work. But it's yeah, it doesn't really make that much sense.
No. What would you like to say?
I well, let's talk about Rogue One. Let's go back to Rogue One. So this takes place, I'm guessing, after Andor, because that guy's dead at the end of Rogue One, right?
What?
So Andor takes place and then Rogue One takes place. Like, does Andor supposed to lead into Rogue One?
I think so, yeah. I haven't finished season two of Andor.
Okay. But this is, it's the same guy, right?
Yes.
Okay. So it's the Cassian Andor, and he becomes a rebel intelligence officer or something.
Yeah, that's another thing that really doesn't make sense if you have to actually watch Andor. He gets pulled into the rebel, the what do they call it? The resistance.
Rebel, yeah.
And he gets pulled into that, and he doesn't even want to be part of it. He's like, no, I think he's searching for his sister, I think, at the beginning of the show. And so they kind of get him, they bring him in, they keep getting him in, and he's like, I don't want any part of your thing. He's like a Han Solo guy. He's like, I don't want any part of your thing. And then in Andor, he's like, I've been a rebel since I was 6 years old. I've been fighting this battle. So it really doesn't make any sense. But again, this is all what I don't like about going back and rewatching all these movies, because they spend so much time trying to make all of this stuff make sense, but then also make the next movie interesting, but then also make it tie into the fact that it came in before all these movies we've already seen. And it just gets distracting for me. With like it's like watching a bad time travel movie where stuff logically doesn't make sense. Those things really distract me. I don't know if they bother most people or not. I don't know. I think they do bother the hardcore geeks,
The
because they're hard.
hardcore people for sure.
Yeah, because it's yeah, they're like, why did this happen? Why did that happen? And I've just stopped asking the question why, because I'm like, there's no explanation. It's because they were making it up as they go. Obviously, there was no plan. When George Lucas wrote the original movie, he just threw in a bunch of words that sounded cool on paper. It's not like he went, "Yeah, 30 years from now, I'll explain that." Obviously.
I know the one thing that bothered me when I was watching A New Hope was that C-3PO comes back to, was it Tatooine? And he goes back to the place that he was made with the people who were there, and he's like, "What's up? Never been here.
Well,
It's a new place."
that is the one thing that they have an explanation for. And you just watch the movie. At the end of
Probably.
episode three, they say, wipe the droid's memory, C-3PO, right? Wipe his memory. And they leave R2-D2's memory intact.
Oh,
You missed that, eh? You
I'm
were
sure I saw
storming
it, but
around all mad about Jar Jar. This fucking
the third movie, I'm still mad. And he doesn't, I don't even think he has a line in the third movie.
I don't know. I don't
I
think
think they were
so.
like, "Good to see you, Jar Jar," and then he waves or something like that. Or somebody just tells him, "Get the fuck out, Jar Jar."
Yeah, but you missed that line. They say they wipe C-3PO's memory. It's an easy way to do it, right? To keep
Yeah.
him to have it all make sense. You can have C-3PO in episode 1, 2, and 3, and then at the very end be like, wipe his memory.
Yeah.
But they leave R2-D2's memory intact. So because he just speaks in a bunch of beeps and boops. So they're like, yeah, you can't fucking. It's not like he's saying shit that anybody's going to be able to be like, well, why didn't he say this instead of that?
But C-3PO knows what he's saying. So wouldn't C-3PO be, wouldn't he be telling C-3PO, like, hey, we've been here before, remember this? And he'd be like, I don't remember it.
You could quibble over that, but you could also say that he knows that his mind was wiped, so he doesn't remember any of it.
R2-D2 seems to be the smartest character in all these movies.
Okay.
He's always getting them out of jams. He always knows what to do. And he's always on mission. They're all other the other one like the we didn't even talk about it, but I like the character from Solo, who the droid who's like in love with Han Solo. And she was a cool character, but she doesn't act like an android. She
I thought
doesn't
she was
really.
in love with, I thought Lando was in love with her.
Oh, it was Lando. Sorry. Yeah, it was Lando.
Okay.
Well, she's saying that Lando's in love with her. I think she's in love with Lando.
Okay.
Anyway, whatever it is. Anyway, but she's like a cool character, and the other guy from Rogue One, he's a cool character, the android.
Yeah, I like the android in Rogue One the best of all the androids they've done. Because he's not trying to be funny. They're not giving him lines to be funny. He's delivering in
Yeah.
his lines, and they come out, they're just funny. His lines are funny.
Because it's Alan Tudyk. He's a master of voice acting. But the one thing that I enjoy about R2-D2 is that he's always on the mission. He's always doing what he's supposed to be doing, getting them out of trouble, doing a good job. All the rest of the droids are just kind of fucking around most of the time. I guess that guy from Rogue One's not really. He's doing pretty good. But C-3PO, it seems useless.
He's useless. I was just going to say the other thing that doesn't make logical sense is R2-D2 was Obi-Wan Kenobi's droid for like the first three movies. And then when he sh
Was he? I thought he was Anakin's droid.
No. He's
Oh,
both
okay.
of their droid. They share him. They share him.
Oh. Okay.
He gets him on the weekends.
Oh.
But he's obviously he knows R2. There's
Yeah.
interactions they have in episode 1, 2, and 3, and then in episode 4 he shows up in the desert and he goes, "That's curious. I don't remember ever owning a droid." So you're
Yeah.
like, you know what? It occurred to me that there's so many lines that don't make sense. They're sitting down at the table. They're sitting down, and he's just like starts telling him about his father, and he's like, "Well, your father used to work on this planet." And your father and your uncle, they didn't get along. They didn't agree with the rebel. And he said he should stay here and be a spice miner. And he said, no, I'm going to go off and fight in the rebellion. And it's like, none of that happened.
Yeah.
And it occurred to me that when they wrote the prequel movies, George Lucas,
Yeah.
he's like, I'll remember it good enough.
Oh,
Well, he's like, oh, I'm pretty sure I didn't say anything about R2-D2 in those episodes. I'm pretty sure. And it's like, wouldn't you sit down and watch the movie before you started putting in lines? You're trying to write a prequel.
he
Yeah.
probably doesn't want to watch the movie.
Honestly, it's like thinking about stuff that I've had to do in my life where I'm not gonna go back and rewatch that so that I get the
Yeah,
facts straight. But it's like, wait, this is a
exactly.
multi-billion-dollar production.
Yeah.
Go back and do your homework. It's only 2 hours. And he was like, fuck that, I'll remember.
Or he could just have somebody write it out for him. like doing, he could pay somebody to do an audio book for him.
Yeah, or just have somebody, what do they have? Continuity.
Yeah, just get a fucking hardcore nerd
Yeah.
and just be like, all right, you're gonna tell me, I'm gonna write this, and you're gonna tell me everything that contradicts everything else. You're gonna be like, well, I mean, in
You're
X2
fired.
47, the guy would probably get so granular. Well, there's four bricks in the house instead of five bricks.
Yeah. This was a
But
mistake. I'm just gonna do, you know why?
I.
You know why it is like this? 'Cause I said so.
Yeah,
Oh.
and I have $2 billion, soon to
Yeah.
be 10 billion. But it does work though, because now Obi-Wan Kenobi's just lying.
Yeah, that's the
And
only
you're
way to
like,
explain it is that he's just
he's
a
just
fucking liar.
feeding. Yeah, well, he's doing it for a purpose, because he doesn't want to be like, you know who your dad really is? He's Darth Vader. Which
Yeah.
would make the rest of the movies seem silly.
Yeah. Obviously, it's none of this was planned. None of it was planned. Not even in the reveal of Darth Vader being his father in the second movie, that was not planned. The reveal of Leia being his sister, that was not planned. None of this was planned. He wrote the first movie, then and when he wrote the second movie, he's like, oh, you know, it'd be fucking cool if Darth Vader was the father. You know, he just made it up as he went, and so it's tough to be nerdy about this stuff. I can sit down and watch them for enjoyment, but to try to make continuity to all this stuff, and then it really annoyed me when they're doing it in Solo, they're going back and be like, oh, 12 parsecs is actually a thing, and like I don't, why are you do wasting your time on this? Because we know it doesn't make sense. I was trying to think back to when Walt Flanagan on the Tell 'Em Steve Dave podcast had the debate with his friend who's a hardcore Star Wars fan. And he just said, like, why do you think George Lucas didn't just pick one? And he's like, what do you mean? He's like, just why didn't he just pick one? Why didn't he just have Leia pick Han over Luke? And he's like, because she was the sister. And he's like, no, I mean, when George Lucas wrote it, why didn't he just have her pick one of them to go with? And the guy just couldn't comprehend it. He's just like, because it was his sister all along. He couldn't do that. He's like, no, George Lucas didn't know that when he wrote the first two movies.
It's obvious because Darth Vader doesn't know who she is.
Right.
And you would think, let's put aside the fact that maybe he doesn't even know, maybe he wouldn't know who she is. Like maybe he doesn't know who his daughter became or whatever. But he has the Force and she has the Force.
Right.
And they would be like, oh, it's a like a father-daughter Force thing.
There's no
No, he's
hints
just like
given.
stupid princess.
Yeah. There's no hints given. There's no nods. There's no Easter eggs. He didn't know that when he wrote the movie. And so, but it was funny because the guy was like, but at the end of the second one, he says there is another. And he's like, no, George Lucas didn't have this planned. He didn't. And I just found it funny that the guy couldn't wrap his head around that. Like it had never occurred to him that all this stuff was just being made up as they went. And I thought that was funny that somebody couldn't think of that. We've still got our bet going with Palpatine. We've still got our bet going. I was actually surprised. Our bet was that you think the Emperor's name is given in the episode, which I've definitely won that bet. But then I was like, is the Emperor even in the first one? And then I thought, no, he's not. And then you went and looked it up, of course, because you're a cheater, and confirmed that the Emperor is not in episode four. But I was actually surprised they even mentioned him. And they do mention him in this movie, which I was surprised by. I knew he didn't show up, but they mention an Emperor, which is good enough that they do that. That was enough foresight that he wasn't like Lord Vader is the big bad, the biggest, is the head of everything. He actually said there's an emperor.
And that's what threw me this time watching it, was that Lord Vader is not even the guy in charge in this movie.
Right.
I forgot, and the other guy was giving him an order, and I was like, wait a second. That guy just told Vader, like, get out of here, Vader, you stupid dick. And I was like, wait a second, that happens? Like, he's not even in charge until the second movie because he miraculously survived the Death Star.
And even that surprised me that in the theatrical release, he survives. I kind of thought they would have killed him off. At least he had enough foresight to be like, we might get a sequel out of this movie. So I'm going to leave my favorite character alive.
Or he could be alive. Like you see him spinning off into space. So he could be dead, he could be alive, but he's definitely not shown to be dead.
We know from movies that when they don't show somebody with their, with their heart stopping, you have to show their heart stop pumping. And even then, they're like, yeah, we can replace hearts.
Well, I
Come
wanted
on.
to congratulate you on that because we talked about guys who died in the first couple movies, and you kept saying, oh, maybe he's not dead. They could bring him back. And then in this movie, the only way that anybody actually died, one of the main characters, was he disappeared. So apparently, Jedis, unless they completely disappear, they're not dead.
Right.
So Qui-Gon could be alive then.
Qui-Gon.
Because Obi-Wan Kenobi, when he dies, his robe just goes empty.
Obi-Wan's robe does, yeah.
Yeah, but
Say
Qui-Gon
Liam
could be
Neeson?
alive. Yeah. And Darth Maul, you're right. Darth Maul could be alive.
Well, anything can be anything because they can always just say, oh, he was lying. As it turns out, they can always just go like, ah, that character was lying. But at the end
Right.
of the episode three, Yoda does say Qui-Gon is communing from the other side. Did you miss? Did you
Maybe
even watch episode three?
I watched a lot of it. Maybe he's commuting from like the other side of the
Sure.
wall or the other
Yeah.
side of the galaxy.
That's right. He could be. He could.
But
It's.
my point is though, why is it that Obi-Wan becomes vapor and Qui-Gon and Darth Maul are physically still in their form when they die?
Yeah. Excellent question. And I'm sure that we can get to the bottom. We can get a definitive answer.
I thought you might have an answer. You
I
seemed
guess
to
I have been
visibly
throwing
not
out
have a
answers
status.
for a lot of things, haven't I?
Yeah.
When I say it's all bullshit, it's all made up. But it's only when you pull out stuff that you're like, well, C-3PO should have known. And I'm like, well, they do say that his memory was wiped. And it's like a clear explanation for that. As opposed to
Yeah,
just be like, well,
which I
maybe he was
agree.
just lying. And you're like, okay, I guess we could just say that. He's just lying for some reason that doesn't get explained.
Never said C-3PO was lying.
Well, he could have been. Maybe they didn't say his memory was wiped. Maybe he's just a big liar. Just a big phony.
I believe you that his memory was wiped.
It
But
was.
did we see his memory get wiped?
That's true.
Maybe he just forgot.
Maybe he just forgot. Maybe robots forget.
You never know. Could be like in Married with Children when they say that Kelly Bundy, whenever she learns something, she has to forget something else. So they do a lot of work in Rogue One, like you were saying, getting things to look like Episode Four, which I think they did a really good job.
Yeah.
I think they put some links in there, like Jimmy Smits is in there.
Yeah.
They bring back some of the old machines, the AT-ATs and the other kind of Imperial tank type machines or whatever they are. I don't know. They bring
Okay.
back a lot of those.
I don't want to derail you too much. You can keep going through your list of things that you liked,
No,
but
I'm just, this is my list of links.
Jimmy Smits, what happens to his character in Rogue One? He shows up for a second. I think he says, like, yeah, let's do it. And then that's it.
Yep. And then he's like, I'm going to Alderaan. And
Does he say that?
everybody's
Okay.
like, have a good time. I hear Alderaan's great, and it should
Okay.
be for the next million years, should be
Yeah.
right where we left it.
Well, I didn't remember him saying anything like that, but I thought he should have died because I think she's all upset because her dad gets killed on Alderaan. But he does show up in Rogue One, and I didn't remember how he exits. So there you go. Good. They tied that up. I just forgot.
But does he have enough time to get back to Alderaan before it blows up? Or is Jimmy Smith still alive?
I hope so. He's everyone's favorite character. Everybody's wants him to come back.
That'd be awesome if they made another special edition and he just shows up in like episode five, like, hey guys, just almost at Alderaan. I'm 10 minutes away.
Yeah.
Can't wait to see everybody. And Leia's like, oh boy.
He does give my favorite line reading of the whole Star Wars universe when he lands in episode three, when the Sith have taken over. They've killed everybody, right? Everybody's dead. And then there's
They
a
would.
message they send out, come back to the temple or whatever. And he lands his little car on the temple. And he gets out and he starts why he's what's going on here? Like that. And all the fucking the stormtroopers, they all lift their guns up and point it at him. And he's like, what did they say to him? Something like, I think it's time for you to leave. And he's like, and so it shall be. And the way he says that line is the best thing ever. Cause he gets out and he's so tough. He's, what's the meaning of all this? And they go, I think it's time for you to go. And he's, so it shall be. And he just turns around. He gives up so fast. It's awesome.
Yeah, I remember that scene. I didn't remember the line, but that is a great line.
It was a great line. And so it shall be.
Well, I hope he is still alive.
Me too. Me too. Okay, so back to Rogue One.
Back to Rogue
You know
One.
what occurred to me about what's good about the show Andor
Okay.
is that I'm watching this Rogue One movie, and then I think, what is so evil about this empire? I know the movie starts when it's like, okay, they show the guy, they've got a guy working for him who's dressed completely in black and he chokes everybody, and then they go around blowing up planets. But when you think about it, they're trying to crush the rebellion. They're trying to crush the terrorists. So I'm like, have they actually proven that the Empire is so bad? Like, it would be like me running around blowing up buildings because I'm mad at the government. Do you just take my word for it? Or do you ask some other people and they're like, you know what? Things aren't that bad. Yeah, they charge us taxes, but that's okay. The taxes pay for the roads. Like, could there be an argument meant for the Empire to be like, it's not that bad?
Okay, so now I have the argument. The argument is that episodes 1, 2, and 3 painstakingly set up the politics of the world in that they're giving more and more power to the emperor, to this one person,
Yes.
and they're taking away democracy.
But has it
So,
been proven in episode four that that guy at the top is really that evil? Maybe he's taking all of his power and he's doing good with it.
I don't think what they're saying is necessarily that the emperor himself is the bad part, even though he is. But in episode 1, 2, and 3, I think what they're trying to say is they're moving toward this fascist state, this dictator state,
Yes.
and that's bad. But I think that's how they're, because they can't show him doing anything really evil until kind of the end of the third movie. They're showing sort of the erosion of democracy.
I'm not talking about the first three movies. I'm talking about in episode four. Has it been established that the Empire is so evil?
Oh,
The
I see what you're
only
saying.
thing they do in that movie is they blow up a planet. But in their defense, they think there's a rebel base on that planet, which they could be terrorists for all we know. We haven't really seen both sides of the story here yet.
But don't they blow up one planet? Or no, they blow up Alderaan, and she's like, the base is on Dantooine.
Yeah, but
But
she's a
then he's like,
terrorist.
no, but then he's like, continue blowing up Alderaan. And she's like, they're all innocent and they don't have any weapons. And he's like, well, I guess I just lied then, didn't I?
Yeah, but again, she is a terrorist. So, and it turned out she was lying about their base. So,
But the terrorists are not on Alderaan.
I don't
They're
know.
innocent people.
They actually were. Her father was part of the terrorist group, so
But he hadn't made it back to, we're not sure he made it back there yet.
I'm just saying, there could be an argument made for the Empire might not be so bad. Maybe we should talk to some people that aren't terrorists and see what they think about living under the Empire. Okay,
Yeah.
the point
So
of
the
that
strain,
was
any,
that
okay, go
I
ahead.
have a point. The point was that in the movie, in the TV show Andor, it's
Yes.
painstakingly slow. Like you said, episode one, two, and it does give me a better idea about how this evil empire is really ruining people's lives. In one scene, I think he just kind of talks back to a guard, and the guard just like grabs him, and then they throw him in front of a judge, and the judge is like 30 years prison. And then they send him to some prison and they do forced labor. And they're like, by the way, you can't get out of this prison. There's no one's ever left. Like, once we're in this prison, like, we never leave and nobody ever knows why. And so then I started to actually get the feeling of like, oh, this is worth fighting for, to have a government this bad that's doing these kind of war crimes and atrocities to your people. This is worth forming a secret terrorist group to overthrow the government. So that's the one thing the Andor show did for me, is it really established why the Empire is so evil, which in the episode four, you just have to accept it. You just have to go, yeah, they're probably evil. The guy's in dressed all in black. It's probably bad.
Maybe they just need to pass prison reform. Like they need their justice system to be reformed. But the one thing that I found weird this time watching episode four was they kept talking about the Senate and what the Senate's gonna do. And I was like, they still have a fucking Senate? Like they're still like, oh, I'm gonna I think at one point the rebels like, oh, the Senate's not gonna like this. And they're like, yeah, go tell the Senate then. They're
Did you
really
catch the
gonna stop
line
us.
where the guy walks in and he goes, the Emperor has just dissolved the Senate?
Yes.
That's the one line, the one time where they mention the Emperor, and he says he's just taken the final measures to completely dissolve the Senate.
Yeah. And she's like, who's in charge now? And they're like, at the individual planets, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Which doesn't really make any sense because then they could just start their own rebellion, but whatever. He should just say the Emperor's in charge.
I didn't realize he didn't say that.
No, he
I
said,
was.
like, she said, like, who's in charge? And he was like, the individual planets have
Oh,
their
okay.
own council or something. But yeah, it's they do a lot of things that I hadn't recognized. Unless you watch these other movies, then they start informing episode four. And you kind of wonder, like, which way did it go? Like, did they try and like work all this stuff back? Or like you said, did George Lucas just make it up? Except Rogue One, obviously, they really had to tie it into A New Hope.
I think probably George Lucas was smart enough back in the 70s that he threw in enough lines like that. Like, this is how you would lose a democracy. This is the kind of stuff that an evil dictator would do to your democracy. And so he put enough of that stuff in. And then when he went back and wrote the prequels, he was like, yeah, I made up that stuff, so I'm gonna carry on with my plot. And then everyone went, why are you talking about taxes? And they all got mad. They all
Yeah,
got pissed off.
but it's stuff that without watching the first five movies, I never would have even picked up it
Yeah.
on in episode four.
Yeah, and it's good. I think it's good backstory. It's good. It's makes you it's a little bit deeper than just there's a magic force and there's good versus evil. There's a little bit more shit going on there in the background. So enough world building that you could then sell your property to Disney for $4 billion, and they could go ahead and expand it and make 500 other shows based on it.
So the one thing that I was most impressed with Rogue One was that they get a lot of the design and the buildings and everything right. And I think it's because, and this goes back to what we were talking about before, was that the CG had caught up. They should have waited to make episodes one, two, and three because when they made Rogue One, it looks almost perfectly in line with Episode Four, which weirdly enough was made, I don't know, 30 years earlier, 40 years earlier, something like 30 years earlier. And it looks much closer than these movies that were made closer to Episode Four because they tried to shoehorn this technology that wasn't ready yet.
Yeah. So you'd prefer they waited to make the prequels.
I think they should have waited. Like you look at when we looked at Episode Four this weekend, you see some things in the background and like those stormtroopers riding those things that look kind of like elephants, and you're like, that doesn't look real.
No, it looked
And like some of this stuff
bad.
they just weren't ready for. So
I went back and stopped watching the special edition
okay.
because I was so distracting to me that I went and watched the theatrical edition instead.
Okay.
And so, right when they get to Mos Eisley, and there's a bunch of shots in there where they have all kinds of CGI people walking around and dinosaurs jumping up and things happening. I'm like, this is really distracting to me. I want to see what it was like in 77. And so I went back and there was a quick shot, which didn't look very good, but it didn't distract me because I was like, that's fine. That's what they did in 77. There's a quick shot where they show the hovercraft go straight into town, and then they basically pull up at the bar. And surprisingly, there was a big dinosaur monster next to the bar in 77. But obviously it wasn't CGI. They just built a big dinosaur monster and they had it kind of move its head a little bit. So it looked like it was alive. And because it was when they walked into the bar, I'm like, how many of these things have been added? And how many were originally there? And so that's when I went back. Pretty much the whole cantina scene is the same, I think. That's when I stopped watching the special edition. So I don't know the rest of it.
Yeah, it looked like all people in suits that were in the cantina itself. But they did have this scene where the stormtroopers are riding, and they're obviously riding an animal that's been covered in something. And I was like, man, that's poor fucking animal. They just covered it in like looks like carpets and then made a new beast out of it.
Oh, you mean in the 77 version?
But you could tell it wasn't something that had been added in CG because it looked so bad.
Sure, it wasn't just like a big guy.
Like two guys, like in a horse costume. No, it was something I think it was an elephant or so, or maybe a camel.
Could be.
Something like that. They just put it in the thing and threw a bunch of carpets on it, made it look like some kind of mammoth beast.
But I did enjoy going back and watching the 1977 version instead. I was less distracted by the crap that was added in the special editions.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to when they clean it up and bring it back officially in 4K. I think people are going to enjoy that, and you're going to be able to see the limitations of what they had instead of the limitations of 19 whatever 96 when they made the special editions.
Yeah, I like it. I like a lot of the stuff better. Like they had to actually put the time in to build a costume, to build it, to figure out how to. Okay, the one thing that stood out to me was that, okay, what are those things called, the Jawas or whatever, that pick up C-3PO and R2-D2?
Oh, yeah, I think so, yeah.
They have a big tank house that they drive around in. And in the 77 version, they're driving that thing around in the desert. And I'm like, did they just build a great big giant tank that drives around, or how did they do that? I honestly don't know.
I would say a miniature.
Yeah, but it looks really good. Like it looks like
Yeah, amazing.
I don't know how they made it look like it was in the environment, the actual live environment. It was a miniature. I don't know what they did. I don't know how they did that stuff.
Yeah,
Even
some
the
of it.
sh
Oh, go ahead.
Even the ship at the beginning, when the ship comes into the screen, like, that's obviously a miniature, and they had to figure out how to they would hold those ships stationary and the cameras would come towards them, and that's how they would make it look like it was moving. All
They
that
can
kind of
move the
stuff.
ships as well. Yeah, they can move the ships on like armatures and things. Yeah.
Yeah, and so they did that stuff, but it looked good to me. I was like, this is, I prefer
Yeah.
this to making just a computer generated spaceship that drives around. Because at some point you just go like, oh, I'm just watching a cartoon.
Yeah, it's because it's all real and it all has weight and it all has to obey the laws of physics. And they had to work a million times harder.
Yeah.
Like when you think of all the, even the little shots of like them just getting into the Millennium Falcon, like they had to build a pretty good size set
Yeah.
of just the bottom of the Millennium Falcon. And you're like, this is amazing. And like all the stuff in the Death Star and all that, like they had to, maybe they didn't build all those rooms. Maybe some of it was like matte paintings and stuff, but they had to build a lot of stuff. And people really had to take their time and put in every little knob and everything in all the control panels. And like this is just stuff that your mind picks up on. That you can, that maybe the kids nowadays, sadly, they can't tell what's real from what's fake. And I'm not even going to get into AI, but even in 2001, they're probably all like, wow, how did they do all those spaceships and stuff? And then instead of their dad telling them, well, they had to build it and then they had to make it really small and then they had to have a special camera that was going this fast to make it look real. Instead, they just said, some guy, some nerd sat at a computer with Doritos in one hand and his mouse in the other hand and made it.
Sounds like you just described your children watching it, and you're like, unfortunately, they don't ask their dad these kind of important questions. Yeah.
That's right. They probably don't. And I never even thought to ask my dad because I was like, maybe they just built fucking spaceships. I don't know. Like at that age, you don't even think about it. The first time I saw Star Wars, I was like, this is just awesome. Why? There's no questions. Why ask anything? It's got to be real.
Did you recommend the TV show Ted to me at some point?
Yeah, probably.
Okay, so you've seen it.
Yeah, I enjoyed Ted.
Yeah, it was good. So if you rec I think you might have recommended it and I might have quickly dismissed it because I
You
was like,
did.
so you did recommend it then.
I remember us talking about it. I don't know if I necessarily recommended it, but I said like, yeah, Ted, and it's back on, and it's I think I may have talked about how expensive it was just because of the bear. But you just said like, I'll never watch it, so stop talking to me about it.
Okay, well, I was wrong. It's funny. It's good.
Yeah, I love the show. Did you see the latest episode?
Well, they just released season two, right?
Season two. I've seen only the first episode of season two, if there's more.
Well, I burned through up season one and I loved it. But there's a scene where they're in the car and they're like, they're talking about Jurassic Park, and they're like, they got real dinosaurs for that. And the girl's like, I don't think they got real dinosaurs. She's like, no, they did. They did. They definitely did. Yeah, that's funny.
And that's it's probably something that Seth MacFarlane remembered from 1993, and people were saying that.
Yeah.
I have no doubt that people were saying that.
Yeah, we couldn't. Yeah, we at that point in time, we just couldn't. Our minds just couldn't comprehend how they could do some of that stuff.
Yeah.
And so, special edition shit, I don't remember ever thinking, oh, it looks terrible. I just remember being like, oh, that's cool. How'd they do
Yeah.
that? How'd
Yeah.
they draw a dinosaur in the background of those scenes? Like, that's amazing. That's pretty cool. But
Yeah.
now I look at it and I'm like, it's shitty looking. It's so distracting because I can tell what's CGI and I can tell what's real, and it's really distracting to me.
And
So
on VHS, it probably didn't look that bad.
hindsight is 2020. I can't blame George Lucas for all the shit. He
Yeah.
thought it was so amazing too. And that's why he was like,
Yeah.
look at how fucking easy this. We didn't have to build so much shit. We could have just done it on a computer.
Which he did for episodes one, two, and three.
Yep.
And I wish he had it built it. I wish he had those limitations that he had to work under. It probably made him better. finding different kind of shots he had to do and stuff instead of being able to do absolutely anything he wanted.
Yeah.
Probably would have made the pod race cooler, even though the pod race was good, but the limitations I think would have brought more out in him.
While I was watching episode four, I thought, what, where did I see a parody where they say the line, "Do you mean I get to go with you and your starship?" And
Yeah.
I was like, what parody is that from? And then I remembered that it's not. It's from episode one. The little kid delivers that line.
Oh, does he?
He goes, "Do you mean I get to go with you and your starship in the sky?" He just delivers it terribly, and it's a terrible line. Your starship. Oh, it's so bad. Yes, that kid was fucking annoying.
Don't remember that line, but he was he did his best.
There's been so many parodies on Star
There
Wars that
has,
I was
yeah.
like, what, where do they make fun of this calling it a starship in such a weird manner? And then I was like, oh no, that was real. That was supposed to be a real line reading.
George Lucas made that.
More about Rogue One.
Yeah,
Go
I like that there's no Jedis in it, except for Darth Vader. And but was the blind guy a Jedi?
ahead.
Or
He
was he
had the
like a friend of the
Force.
Jedi?
Sure.
Yeah, he was kind of like a friend of the Jedi.
They wouldn't let him in because he was blind.
Oh, really? I would think
Yeah.
that'd be like a plus for the Jedi. You wouldn't have to worry about your sight.
No, they it was on the application. And they're not now you can't ask that kind of question, but
There's
back
a
then,
vision test.
this was a long time ago. It's a
They
different time.
didn't have glasses. Yeah, nobody
But
has glasses in these movies either.
I like the blind guy. I like that there was a little bit of a tie to the Force. And I think you might have said the one thing about Han Solo story was that there was no Force at all.
Yeah,
And
nobody
then
talked about it.
I realized, well, they had to do that. I don't know if they consciously did, because they can always just say, oh, I was lying. But at once, he's very skeptical in episode four of the
Yeah.
Force. So when Luke is doing that, he's like, this is all I need is a good blaster. I've been to every side of the galaxy. I've never seen any proof of a force, a magical force. And so I'm like, yeah, that line really would not have worked if they had to put force shit into the Solo story, right?
But that's why I thought he would have talked about the Force, though. Like when I watched episode four, I was like, I'm surprised in Solo they didn't put him being like somebody saying like, "Oh, may the Force be with you," and he'd be like, "The Force sucks and it's crap." Just to even tie it in just a little bit more.
Yeah, they could have put stuff like that in there, as long as he was really skeptical of it, because then
Yeah.
it would make sense that he was skeptical. Yeah, I feel like they actually did go back and try to make Solo make sense and try to make Rogue One make sense, whereas when George Lucas wrote the prequels, he didn't bother to check back on his facts. He just made it up
Yeah.
as he went.
Well, it's because these are people who loved Star Wars, who made
Yeah.
these movies.
Yeah.
So they had to be like, man, I got to impress George Lucas with being faithful to it. And if you have a movie that ends 5 minutes before episode four starts, like
You better.
you really got to try and make it not fuck up. So it like we did, if you start watching it, I don't know, like 12 hours later, you're not like, wait a second.
Yeah.
Leia's got a different hairstyle.
Right. I remember hearing Jon Favreau talk about saying something to George Lucas about Life Day or something that was from the holiday special.
Oh, right, yeah.
And he said, I put that into The Mandalorian because it's canon, right? The holiday special's canon. And George Lucas, the way Jon Favreau described George Lucas's reaction was like, what are you talking about? What's the holiday special? Which makes me laugh because it sounded like Jon Favreau was trying to suck up to him. Like you're
Yeah.
saying, like, I'm going to take that one thing that everybody hates and I'm going to tell you that I just did honor to it, right?
Yeah.
And then George Lucas was like, what? What is that? He's forgotten everything he did back in the 80s.
Did he even work on the holiday special, though?
I don't know. I don't know. There's a whole, I watched a whole documentary about it, and I don't remember.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I know he didn't, I know he didn't really care about it if he did work on it, but I don't think he did much at all on it.
Yeah, I don't think so
And
either.
so they just like threw in shit that was stupid,
Yeah.
that didn't make any sense. But yeah, I probably saw the same documentary you did. Tarkin looks awful though in Rogue One.
Remind me who that is.
He's the boss of Ben Mendelsohn's character,
Oh,
Donnie Darko or
he does look
whatever his
bad.
name
He
is.
does look bad. The skinny guy, the skinny old guy. And they had to have him in there because he was the guy in charge of everything. So,
Yeah, but he looked fucking like they his color was wrong.
yeah, his
And
lips
it
look
was
bad.
weird. It was really weird. But
Well,
Vader
there you
looked
go.
awesome.
That's why they you could say, well, they should have waited another 20 years to make Rogue One. Like, it's never going to be
It's
perfect.
people will probably be saying that. But Vader, I like that they had Vader in the tank and that he lived on the volcano planet and that he came in for like 5 minutes. That was cool. Because you expect like Vader's around. Like it would have been weird if they didn't show him.
Actually, they could have very easily just done more Vader stuff and left out the skinny CGI guy. They definitely could have done it that way. For
They could
whatever
have.
reason, they decided, they're like, we've got this technology. It's fucking amazing. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, the whole thing takes place in like 12 hours, so he could have been sleeping.
Sure.
He's off shift. Don't
Well,
bother him.
he doesn't need to be there until the very end. They could have had just one quick scene, just like Leia, just for the nerds to go, oh my God, it's her.
I just jizzed.
Yeah.
I'm sure people yelled at the screen. I don't know. I don't remember if I saw Rogue One in the theater, but I'm sure people yelled at the screen. Like the other people wouldn't have known in the theater.
I did like the movie Rogue One. I did like it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot.
I didn't like Solo at all, but I did like this one. I thought it was just a good original story. So they weren't sitting there telling you, oh, here's all these Easter eggs, and here's why this happened, and here's why this happened, and this is the thing. They just were like, they took a clip from episode four that says, hey, a lot of people died to bring us these plans, and they made a whole story about it. And then the backstory didn't really matter. They're like, it was a little bit annoying to be like, oh, it turns out that the guy put that vulnerability in there on purpose. Because then it was like, all right, you're doing too much to make it all make sense.
Yeah,
The things that people have made fun of,
you didn't need it.
I didn't need it.
No,
But
you specifically.
it was easy enough to be like, that's how we're gonna have more of a depth to the characters and stuff in our story. Rogue One is that it's the daughter of the girl that was there, and she's, it was, yeah, okay, I got no problem with
And if you're that guy and you really hate the Death Star and you build the Death Star, why don't you just build something that makes it self-destruct? Once it
yeah,
becomes whatever operational,
sure.
just put something in there that just ruins the whole thing. Don't make it so they have to like waste hundreds of lives to get the plans and then do it. Like
Yeah.
it seemed like that guy was kind of like, yeah, maybe they will figure out how to beat it, and maybe they won't. Either way, it's pretty cool, the Death Star, and I
Yeah.
made it.
But I liked the movie overall. Thought it was a good thing. Andor, the character Andor, I didn't really, he was kind of, you didn't really know if he was a good guy or a bad guy, like the whole movie. I mean, at the very beginning, he kills somebody, murders him. No, nobody's complaining about that.
No, this was a little bit darker. All the main characters die at the end. Spoiler alert. Which is pretty crazy. Like in a Star Wars movie, for all the main characters to die, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, I would recommend this in the rankings. I'd put it just after the first three.
You like
Maybe even better than The
Which
third
are the
one.
first three
Oh,
episodes?
fuck. Episode four, five, and six.
Okay, all right. I thought maybe, but I wasn't sure. So you think
Yeah.
episode four, five, and six are the best, and then the fourth best is Rogue One.
I think it's in the top five.
Okay.
It's either I think the Force Awakens is probably also in there for
Ugh.
me.
Ugh. Ugh. Well, we'll have to get to that when we watch it, but
We're gonna get to it. I liked it better than certainly I didn't really like the last two episodes 8 and 9, but I thought episode 7 was pretty good.
yeah.
I don't know. What else we got to say about Rogue One? Anything, or should we go right on to the main Star Wars movie?
I thought we've been already talking about it. I didn't.
We've been talking. It's very slow for everything that's come after it, after the first trilogy. I realize like this movie, I can see why kids prefer episodes 1, 2, and 3.
Yep.
I've heard a lot of kids rank episodes 1, 2, and 3 first, and then 4, 5, 6. I don't know. I didn't really hear about 7, 8, 9, but
Where are you talking to all these kids?
on the schoolyard,
What's
I just walk up to them. Hey, kids, you want to see
your
my
opinion?
lightsaber?
Oh, God.
And then they say, yes. I like my no.
I'm not cutting that out, so don't keep talking about it.
No, you hear adults always say like I can't believe kids like 1, 2, and 3 better. I can believe it. When you
I
see
believe it.
episode 4, you're like, this is for us, it was amazing. It's still amazing, but it moves really slow. Like they're
Yeah.
just kind of going over here and going over there and
I
getting
didn't mind it
captured.
because I haven't seen it in so long. I didn't find it slow or anything. I had no problem with the pace, but yes, I could see that. That trash compactor scene, I've heard Walt Flanagan said, like, that's boring, man. They're in there forever. And so I watched it and I timed it this time to see how long they're actually in there, because they are in there for a long fucking time. It was 6 minutes. And
Really?
in a
Okay.
2 hour movie, that's
Yeah.
5% of your movie. They're in a trash compactor.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when you were watching it in the 80s, we didn't care. We just
Yeah.
thought the whole it was all awesome.
The trash compactor was great. There's not a ton of lightsaber battles. There's not a ton of spaceship battles.
And the
But
lightsaber
ev
battles aren't very good, because
yeah.
the way they had to do them was they had a rod or something that they would
Broomstick.
kind of, huh?
A broomstick.
I wasn't aware that it was a broomstick.
There's a broomstick.
Okay.
They had a broomstick that they had to hit. That was it. That was all they had.
Okay.
It was a different time. What were
Yeah.
you going to say? I cut you off. I apologize.
I was gonna say that they had to do something to make it light up like that. Like they had to reveal it to the camera on an angle or something. Like it would, when they were holding this broomstick, I guess, they would have to kind of angle it or something to make it appear that it was coming out of the hilt of the lightsaber. But I
Okay.
could be totally wrong, because I wasn't aware that it was a broomstick. So I don't know. But when you're having to do that much shit to make it light up, you're not gonna have crazy fight scenes with it.
Yeah.
That's all I
Well,
was going
plus you got like a 70-year-old man who doesn't want to be there
to. Yeah.
doing like the main lightsaber battle.
Yeah.
But it's you watch it and I'm still awed by what they could do. And I think that's why people loved it so much, is that I don't remember seeing an adventure movie, like a sci-fi adventure movie, that looked that good before 1977.
You were alive in
No, but I
77.
mean, like all the movies I've seen before then, there's a lot of shitty movies and there's a lot of sci-fi movies that don't look that great. And there's what's the movie, Stanley Kubrick's movie, 2001: A Space Odyssey, which looks cool, but it's not like an adventure movie, not for the kids.
When did the second and the third one come out? 81 and 83, is that right?
I think so.
Okay. So we were not old enough to witness them and while we were growing up or whatever. I remember being a kid and going to the store and renting episode three every day for a long time, long enough that I definitely should have, we should have bought it. But I was given like $2 to go and rent a movie. That was my afternoon. And so I remember always just walking up there and getting the exact same movie. And I remember seeing episode three so many times over and over and over again. And then when I got a little bit older, I think I saw episode two at some point and liked it. And it became my favorite when I became a teenager. I don't even remember when I saw episode one, but it was my least favorite just because of what you're saying. It was slow and everything. And so I didn't get the love for it that if you had have gone to the theater in 1977, that it could have blown your mind. So I don't really have the love for episode four that you're expressing.
Well, I definitely remember seeing, like you, episode six the most for some reason. Maybe
Sorry,
because
that's
it.
you're correct. Episode six, I was saying episode three. It's fucking
I know what
confusion.
you're saying, though, but because it was the freshest one at the time.
Yeah.
And I think kids, like people used to say, like, episode five sucks.
Episode five, The Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, like I think all my friends used to be like, don't watch that one. That's the shitty one.
Oh, that quickly became my favorite. Once I became a teenager, I watched that one. Because I got the trilogy for Christmas one year, and I remember deciding, I'm like, I think I like the second one the best out of all three. I did, and then later on, I found out that was a popular opinion. But I'm glad I came to that conclusion on my own.
I probably didn't come to that conclusion on my own. Somebody probably told me it was the best, and then I was like, yeah, I'll watch it and see. And then I was like, yeah, it's probably the best.
When I was younger, I liked the Ewoks. I thought they were a lot of fun. I love the Ewoks. And then like to hear Kevin Smith talk about it, he was like, they ruined the whole trilogy with adding the Ewoks. He didn't like that. So it's all about your age and all that shit. It's all about your age when
It
you're
is.
discovering these things.
Yeah. It is. It's all what you saw first and what people told you was the best one. And like it just to me, Star Wars when I was growing up just seemed like a thing that was there. Like it wasn't even like three movies. It was like part of the culture. And like the movies were almost like I didn't even associate the movies necessarily with being like what made Star Wars. I guess in my mind, I just thought Star Wars was just always there.
All
And
right.
maybe they made some movies after or something. Like to me, it was completely like the toys and the bed sheets and the posters and everything was just completely separate.
Did you have that stuff when you were a kid?
No, not really.
Me neither. Me neither.
No,
So
weirdly
I don't have
enough.
the love of the toys. I mean, it came out in 83. We were 2 years old.
But when I was growing up, like you saw all that though. Like Star Wars was just like people would just talk about it.
Here's what I read because I went and looked for live action stuff. Because you mentioned, was there a live action TV show in the 80s? So I went looking. There was two live action Ewoks movies that they made in the 80s. And they were made for TV movies.
Maybe
And
that
it
was
was
it.
100% to reinvigorate the love of the toys. That's why they were made. And it stars Warwick Davis and some little girl who's in both of them, some little girl.
Really?
I don't know if I've ever seen them, but the thing that I was watching about this, I only watched like 5 minutes of it, but the thing that said it was because in 84, kids weren't into the toys anymore. So they had to produce some more Star Wars content to remind kids about you remember you love these toys. So to think about that, that's a year after or 2 years after the fucking movies came out. Kids had already moved on. There's no way by the time we became six or seven when we were asking for toys that we'd be asking for Star Wars toys. We hadn't even seen them. We had no love of them.
No, we weren't, but Star Wars to me seemed like it was just a part of like our history at that time.
Okay.
Like you would like it was almost like it was something that actually happened.
Okay.
And it was just ingrained in the culture.
I don't remember ever owning a single Star Wars toy when I was a kid. I remember, like I said, going and renting that same movie every single day. I probably was like 5 years old, maybe six, maybe older. I don't know, but I was rented that movie and just loved it. But I don't remember getting any toys or bed sheets or anything like that.
I don't remember them selling any of that stuff, but I do remember everything being around. I didn't have it, but it was all around. Like people would just have like an R2D2 cookie jar. I remember that being a big thing, the R2D2 cookie jar and the R2D2 lamp and like a lot of this stuff that was just there.
So what else about the movie?
What else about the movie? I don't know. Let me look at my notes here. I had some questions. Well, I answered one of my questions, which I think was kind of cool. Actually, I didn't answer it, but I read about it later. And one of the questions I had from Rogue One was, did they actually use New Hope footage? And they did, which, oh no, it was because I was watching A New Hope and there was the exact same shots of them lighting up the ray from the Death Star. And I was like, I just watched that movie last night. Like, those are the exact shots. Did they do those shots again?
Oh, yeah.
Or did they just put them in from New Hope into that movie? And they just put them from New Hope into the movie, into Rogue One. They're like, why film this again?
Speaking of the laser that destroys the planet, Rogue One did a way better job of showing how destructive it would be to fire a laser into a planet and have the planet explode, as they show the tidal wave of Earth coming towards them in that one
Amazing.
shot. That was great. And then you realize how shitty it is in the version in episode four when it just shoots and they obviously just took a little firecracker and put it inside the model and made it go boom, and that was it. That's all they had to work with, but it makes it seem like it's you get a much better feeling of it in Rogue One that.
And I wonder if they did that just to show you what they want, what they could have shown, or what they should have shown you in episode four. Do you think that was a conscious choice of them being like, I think we can do what they did in episode four way better?
I'm sure it was, yeah.
I don't know. It seems like these movies, like especially these two, are definitely in a conversation more than a lot of the other movies. Especially ones that were made so far apart.
Like what?
Well, like we were talking about episode one and episode four. Like there doesn't seem to be as much of an interplay between those movies, like you were saying, with George Lucas kind of forgetting what he put in episode four. But these two movies seem like they're really trying to be one story rather than the distinct story that's told in episode one, two, and three, and four, five, and six, and seven, eight, nine. And Solo obviously being its own story, but this movie made 30 years later was really trying to be a love letter to the first movie, episode four.
I liked it. What else, man?
I wrote some stuff down that I don't understand. Biggest series of coincidences, I don't understand that. I think it was just how they had to write Rogue One and episode and to match with episode four. So there was a lot of things that seemed like a coincidence, but I don't know why I wrote
Okay. Well,
that.
I don't know either.
Okay. So you want to go on to next week? talk about what's coming up.
Yes.
We're going to have the big Oscar show. We're going to do our Oscar picks right before the ceremony starts. We'll have that all done and we'll see who the winner is. Who's the best Oscar picker of them all? And we'll watch episodes 5 and 6.
Okay. Nothing
We're
comes
more
up
than.
between episode 4 and episode 5.
Oh, no, there's no movies that were made to be. No, I don't believe so.
Okay. Do you think
But
we should go back and watch all of the cartoons that have ever been made?
and all the
The
shows.
Mandalorian. So the other
Yeah.
shows that I mentioned last week that I liked that they didn't. Skeleton Crew was the one with the little kids. Apparently that's
Yep.
done. It was only going to be
Okay.
one season.
Right.
Ahsoka is the show with
Rosario
Rosario
Dawson.
Dawson. They're going to make another season of that. I didn't much care for that show.
Okay.
The Acolyte is the other show that came out and they canceled it. I think it's like
Okay.
the first that they've just cut off
Yeah.
is The Acolyte. It made one season. They were supposed to make more and they just canceled it, right? From lack of interest. And I,
What's it about?
it, don't ask me that again. I'm just telling you, I looked at the names. It's about an acolyte. She's an acolyte and she's, I don't know. It's a whole original story.
I thought you looked it up this
I just looked
time.
up the name of it and realized that it was
Okay.
canceled after one season from lack of interest.
Okay.
Whereas they, Andor, they gave it a second season. Like, dude, I'm sure there was a lack of interest there, other than the critics that just love it.
Yeah.
I had a lack of interest. I bet you most of the audience did too, but they gave it a second season to wrap up.
Okay.
But the one that I liked the most, other than Skeleton Crew, was this Acolyte one, and
Yeah.
they canceled it.
So
I don't
you
know.
know what it's about
Well, I
because you've
saw
seen.
it.
Oh,
Yeah.
okay.
I forget it, man. I forget the whole thing.
Okay. What about Obi-Wan? Is Obi-Wan good?
Oh, I didn't much care for that. By the time it finished, I didn't much care for it. I liked the lead up to it, but
I'd forgotten they even made an Obi-Wan show.
I honestly did too until you just said that.
And apparently it has Anakin Skywalker back in it somehow. That's all I know about it.
I watched it. I watched the whole thing.
Oh, okay.
I've watched everything that's ever come out related to anything Star Wars,
That's awesome.
except for the second season.
We did miss a movie actually. I think there's like an animated movie like Star Wars Rebels or something.
There could be. We
That's
should
a.
watch the Ewoks stuff after episode 6. Should
All
watch the
right.
Ewok movie, the t made
If
for
you
TV movie.
find it, we'll watch it.
Well, okay.
We'll watch them together and then we can watch those two and The Force Awakens.
Okay. Yeah, the Obi-Wan thing, people got really pissed off about that because again, they're trying to make a prequel. And Obi-Wan and Leia have a big adventure. That's what the
Oh.
whole series is about. They go on a big adventure
Oh.
together. And then you're like, but she pretends like she doesn't know him in episode 4. So people were
Yeah.
really pissed off about that. And I'm
Okay.
like, I didn't really care because at that point I didn't really care. All I remember is that they hired a little girl to play Leia, and there was one scene where she was running around in between people's legs, and I'm like, is this a joke? This is terrible. This show is terrible.
Oh, it's a kid, Leia.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow. I thought you meant it was like fully grown Leia and like old Obi-Wan.
No, she's a little kid, but then in episode 4, it doesn't make sense why she's like, you once, one time you knew my father. And it's like, no, they have
Yeah.
this whole adventure. But it
Yeah.
doesn't, it's all prequel shit trying to wrap high stuff in. And it's, yeah, whatever. I like new original stories like Rogue One.
Yeah, well,
Well, that's, sorry, that's still a prequel too.
I'm gonna watch The Acolyte then.
Yeah, it's not worth it because they're not going to make a second season.
But was it?